My spiritual rituals consist of self-care of my mind, body, soul, and spirit. To me, these four are interconnected, inseparable. If one suffers, the rest of me feels the consequences. It's taken me years to fine-tune my healthy habits. I am a massage therapist, a martial artist, and a breath teacher. I'm happiest when I nurture all parts of myself. The UU feeds some of my hunger for spiritual connections. Along with close friends and family, my business fulfills the rest of my needs. The martial arts I teach is called Kung Nu, which means hard, soft in Vietnamese. The creator of Kung Nu was Vietnamese, and he called it Kung Nu because it was also a blend of hard style and soft style martial arts. The main influences in our style are Aikido, boxing, judo, Shotokan karate, Tai Chi, and Wing Chun. Hard style martial arts confronts your partner's energy with our own force. Soft style martial arts, we redirect our attacker's energy. One of Kung Nu's main teachings is the importance of cultivating an open mind, open heart, and open arms, which is as important as knowing how to punch, kick, and when to defend ourselves. I teach martial arts students that they have more responsibility as martial artists to be role models, to only use Kung Nu to defend themselves. Having a non-defeatist attitude is also important as a martial artist. And most importantly, to avoid acting out our own anger on others. Being honest with myself, meditating, being grateful, eating whole foods, sharing gifts, and listening helps keep my anxiety at a manageable state so I may function and effectively contribute to our microcosm of my family, friends, coworkers, Appleton, Wisconsin, the Midwest, and the macrocosm of the U.S., North America, and our beautiful planet. As my husband reminds me, I can only control myself and how I react to people and events. Obviously, as trite as it sounds, sometimes this is easier said than done. Kung Nu is the art of love. That's what the founder wanted to pass on, the art of love. Open arms is about living. Open arms, open mind, and open heart is one of the main philosophies in our style. Open arms is about living our open mind and open heart. My students and my stepdaughter, Emma, are some of my greatest teachers. They remind me to live through my actions. Along with our planet, I see my body as my temple. How I treat the earth, her inhabitant beings, and myself are important for me to thrive. I see that everything is connected and the earth is a living being. If I don't take care of myself, my interactions with myself, my daughter, my husband, and everyone else suffers. I see myself not only as a woman born in the Philippines and raised primarily in Lower Michigan. I see myself as indigenous to this magnificent planet, challenged every day to grow in love. Despite being lumped into boxes that are limited expressions of who I truly am. At the beginning and end of each martial arts class I teach, we yell out gong. In Vietnamese, it means effort, or I will do my best. It's a great reminder to do our best in all that we do. Thank you.
When asked, what do I believe, I've been toying with the idea of religion and spirituality for many years. I was raised Wisconsin Lutheran, and I believed it. I think that there's a beauty to religion. I think there's a beauty to the Ten Commandments. I think there's a beauty to the Scripture. The timeliness is what I had difficulty with. The rituals, the prayers, the meditation, the community, there was a beauty to it. But there's also a fear. And that is what I struggled with. I don't want to go into the whole experience of Lutheranism, Christian belief systems. I think many of us are familiar with those. As I grew older and older, I asked more questions. You know, you ask the why questions. Why did things happen? I do believe that there is evil and good, and I think there's a balance. But there was not an explanation as to why. Why is there evil? You know, that was not explained to me. And I continued to have difficulties with that. Why do bad things happen? Why do some people have children? Why do some people would like children can't have children? Why are there shootings? You know, why did the incidents happen? And I found something that answers some of these questions, maybe not the way we would like, but at least it speaks to that a little bit better in my mind. So in preparing, the question became, am I more real spiritual or religion? And that's always been a question of mine, because I've always considered myself more spiritual. When looking at the definitions of spirituality and religion, I looked up religion and I found three different pieces of it, or three different definitions. If we're going to define religion, there's some examples. The belief and worship of a superhuman controlling power, especially a personal god or gods. A particular system of faith and worship, and a pursuit or interest to which someone ascribes supreme importance. So in listening to that, some of those pieces do fit with my belief. And I never thought of it that way, so it's a different approach, because there's certainly, the way I feel now, asking more questions of God, I consider myself more agnostic. I find spirituality in nature and things of that, and things of the world around us, the world at large. The belief in worship of a superhuman controlling power, especially a personal god or gods. There was a sermon by Roger Birchhausen, January 2011, a series of three sermons that I listened to closely, and that's what really spoke to me, is to find something that I could grasp onto to answer some of the questions I have. Why is there evil? You know, what is there God, and where is God, and what do we? How can I have God in my day-to-day life? The concept of process theology is more of an interconnectedness, an evolving concept between people, nature. We can't ignore science. We can't ignore the applicability of today's world. It goes with the process theologian C. Robert Merle spoke to six layers of process theology, and I don't think we can ignore these. It talks about evil, modern science, Modern studies of world religions and faith, increased connection with other world religions, feminism, and the ability to destroy the world through pollution and nuclear weapons. We can't ignore these things. And I guess that peace and ever-evolving connection between people and energy is what answered those questions the best for me. And that's what I really have ascribed to, because I feel my belief system is ever-changing, ever-evolving, and the fellowship captures that well in regard to a connectedness, inherent dignity and worth. So the seven principles really speak to that. Again, I didn't want to go into my whole experience, but I at least wanted to present the process theology is a piece that really has kind of condensed it, has answered that human nature is responsible for evil. It's human nature that things happen. But the God piece comes together. The God piece in the shooting in Orlando came with the families, the connectedness, the community. We spoke about Black Lives Matters. The community response really speaks to the God piece. It's more of an energy between people, between nature. And I really found God in nature and in interconnectedness. It's ever changing, ever evolving. So I guess in summary, I think there's good and evil. I think there's good and evil in the world. I think human nature can answer that to a point. I think there is a God, not a supreme being, but more of a interconnectedness between people. It's ever-changing, ever-evolving. We can't ignore science. We can't ignore what's going on today's world. We have to appreciate that, respect it. We can't be blindsided by it. And I think that this is it. I think there is heaven and hell, and our energy will be transferred. So those pieces, our energy, we're decomposed, we're reborn, so to speak, but this is it, and we have what we have, and it's a day-to-day practice. So I guess that's my best response as to what I believe, but it certainly is ever-changing, ever-evolving. And at least with the process theology, some of those questions I had were answered. So it's those lectures, and they're online as well, were very helpful to find something to grasp onto. Thank you very much for having me.
I've lived most of my life avoiding wishful thinking and empty promises. I've had learned to behave that way. I have faith in things that I can see with my own two eyes. I believe in the earth, the stars, the sky, the sun, the moon. I believe in the grass dancing between my toes and the raindrop trickling down my cheek. Life will throw you curveball after curveball. I can promise you that. But I found happiness in the simplest of things, the guaranteed things. A higher power, maybe. My cat kneading her paws into the pillow before she lays down, always. Another thing life will throw your way is uncertainty. There is, however, the certainty that you will grow and change. I've seen that. Looking back, I can hardly recognize all the people I've been. Maybe there are more to come. Maybe you have to lose yourself before you can truly discover who you are. Maybe you never find yourself. Uncertainties. But I can depend on the flowers blooming in the spring, the birds chirping in the morning, and the sun setting at night. Yes, I believe.
My name is Bill Carlson. I'm find great joy being up here and amongst family and friends. This is a real honor. And I cherish speaking from my heart. This is my truth. And it's an honor to do that and have you listen, so thank you. And I love this place. My wife Lynn is sitting here, and we were married in 1972. 1981, we moved to Appleton and found this fellowship in the fall of 1983, and then signed the book as members in January of 1984. At that time, our oldest daughter was 5, middle daughter was 3, and our youngest daughter was 6 months old. So they grew up in this fellowship. They got to go to coming of age, and our whole lives, OWLS, I could have used those when I was growing up. Our children benefited greatly from being part of this fellowship. They're leading wonderful lives right now. I'm so pleased to be among family and friends, to have been born on North American soil, and to be blessed with good health. I believe I'm one of the luckiest people around. And I actually believe that I have a few more years left, and that Lynn and I have the privilege of growing old together, which is a real honor. It's a sacred thing. A couple of nights ago, I heard President Obama give his talk at the convention, and I don't think he looked at a teleprompter once. I was impressed. So I'm doing that here. I'm not. I'm just talking. This is a free talk. But it turns out, as soon as I open my mouth, I find for myself that I'm not learning anything. All I'm doing is taking what's in here and bringing it out. So whenever I speak, I'm not going to learn anything. I'm just going to find great joy and be glad to be alive, that's for sure, and enjoy the moment. But I find for myself, to actually learn something, I need to listen or read or observe or experiment. That begs the question, what about science, 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 science? What about it? Even with science, we can't know everything. Even though that's one of our main wishes as human beings, being curious on this planet, we want to know everything. And about age 6, all humans with a functioning brain want to know what happens after we die. And the rest of our lives are spent wondering about these great mysteries. Yes, sirree. So in the olden days, I taught RE along with Lynn. And out of Boston, our headquarters for UU, came a nice little statement that I was proud to teach to the youth that I was honored enough to be around in RE, right here, this kind of a place. And that statement said, Unitarian Universalists are not sure what happens after we die. We're not sure. It doesn't mean we don't care. We care deeply. We're just not sure. And I found that's called living the question. The great mystery. What does happen? And I could go on and on and on and on. And I don't want to offend anybody. So I might switch gears here a little bit and talk about some other things that I believe. See, when the panelists are talking, we're sharing from our heart. These are our truths that we hold dear and sacred, and that's sacred. So the Native Americans would gather in longhouses and talk. And as long as someone was speaking from their heart, they could talk as long as they needed to. It could take days to do longhouse meetings. We have 5 minutes. Because we're not in that kind of a place or society. But I really like Native Americans who planned for seven generations ahead. I think that's good policy. I believe in it. And I like speaking from my heart and my truths. So I believe, like the old chief in Dances with Wolves, I believe there is nothing like a warm fire. I believe that having friends, family, good health, and living in a safe place, relatively speaking, I believe these are gifts. Big, big gifts. And I believe I'm not going to know what happens after we die until I actually get there. I have to be okay with that. And I also believe that that first hymn we sang today, A Prayer for This House, is the state of the human condition. It's very tricky and complicated being a human being. I believe if I had been Hitler's dad, he would have turned out fine. I actually believe that. Yeah. And Lynn and I love another hymn that we have here. It talks about making our own days glad. I find that to be one of the great truths for myself. I do not expect Lynn to make me happy. I need to make my own days glad. She needs to make her own days glad. And then together, from an even playing field, we can come together and share joys and concerns. Partners. I really like that. Now I'll just finish with one last quote. My youngest daughter Anne and her husband, they are permanent park rangers with our national park system, and they live in Yellowstone at Old Faithful, and many fine rangers work there. I mean many. And many visitors come and ask rangers questions. And sometimes it's okay to tell a little white lie. It is okay. Because these innocent visitors, they see coyotes all the time there. And they come up to a ranger and say, "I saw a wolf." And 20 times a day they have to get corrected and have their hearts broken. And occasionally the rangers will say, "Yes, you did." Thank you.